You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app, this is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And thank you for listening to the Dom Salvia Show. You can be a part anytime of this fine program. 855-752-4842. Just working hard on the board, on the sound, on the tunes. And I'm jazzed as hell. Got a big show for you. Introducing a new friend at 5 o'clock today, Mark Becker. He's the host of Civic Media's Rational Revolution, playing out on Saturdays, 2 to 3 p.m., and, of course, our friend Maggie Dawn from The Maggie Dawn Show staying over for a little overtime with me here on Tuesdays. You can check her show preceding this fine program, 2 to 4 p.m. Maggie, welcome back.
Hey, Dom. Great to be here.
It's always a pleasure. You know, you kind of stole my thunder a little bit. I heard you talking about Eric Hovde. And in all the news today and last several days, man, this guy is percolating to the top for terrible, dumbass comments, and I think we need to continue along this path. The quote that was played out, and I think you may have played it, but I'm going to play it again for our audience. I think it's very important. Propagating the lies about FEMA money being diverted. And I'm going to follow this up with some Republicans' comments on this issue. If you would, please just play it for the people.
Did you see the news today? That FEMA is out of money.
No, they're not.
Doesn't have money to transfer to those people affected by the hurricane.
Didn't see that news.
Why?
Why?
Because they use the money to assist illegal immigrants. You can't make this crazy.
Getting trans operations in prison.
You can't make it up.
He totally just did.
That are in trouble, or our vets. But we're going to give it to people coming into our country illegally. What kind of world are we living in today?
A liar's
this
world.
This is what Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, and Senator Baldwin, who supports all this craziness, have brought on our country.
No, she doesn't.
No.
It's like we've entered into Alice in Wonderland. And what is right is wrong, and what is wrong is right. Please share this with people you know.
No,
get
don't.
The word
don't
out.
Do that.
We have to take back our country.
Word.
That's the whole reason I'm in this race. Because I couldn't sit by anymore and watch my country that I love melt down. So please,
because of liars,
get out there, work hard, spread the word.
Spread
We've
the lies.
We've got to win this election.
Spread the lies. They're like crabs. Come on. Eric Hovde, are you kidding me? This is so wrong and so... It's disastrous for this country. And let me tell you why. We have another hurricane barreling down right now on Florida. I mean, of all the times to be politicizing FEMA and you know, never mind that, you know, some Republicans did not vote to fund FEMA here recently. Never mind the fact that, you know, a lot of Floridians are going to be impacted by the storm. Milton's what, a category? It was a category 5. Now it's a category 4. It's going to ramp back up, presumably to category 5. Maybe it will stay a 4 by the time it maybe hits Tampa with a 8 to 12 foot storm surge, which is bigger than the one that just did a lot of damage with Helene last time. So we have Eric Hovde, the senatorial candidate, out there saying these lies. But I'd like to quote to you from the Washington Post, Senator Tom Tillis. He's a Republican from North Carolina. One of the things he had to say, the last thing the victims of Helene need right now is political posturing, finger pointing, or conspiracy theories that not only hurt, that only hurt the response effort. Republican Senator Tom Tillis. I mean, add him to the list. I think we had DeSantis also saying
he spoke to the
president. We have the local Republicans, mayors and congressmen. What are you talking about, Eric Hovde? Can you believe this? No, I don't believe it. How are we living in a post-factual world right now?
Because Donald Trump makes lying just part of what's expected. And you can lie about anything at any time, no matter what the consequences, no matter how many of your own supporters it hurts. And make no mistake, the two people in Wisconsin's congressional delegation that voted against increasing FEMA's disaster relief fund were none other than Senator Ron Johnson and Representative Derek Van Orten. What I suggest to you, Dom, is what we don't need for Wisconsin is another old rich guy carpetbagger senator, especially when Eric Hovde had the balls to go before the Rotary Club in Milwaukee this afternoon and propose raising the retirement age for Social Security, cutting Medicare
only
benefits.
For those under 40 years old, you know, so what are you going to do, right? Yeah, please continue. What other great ideas did Hovde
repealing the Inflation Reduction Act so that insurance companies can jack up prescription drug prices like that for insulin, okay, and ending the federal government's ability to negotiate over prescription drug prices under Medicare, which will make all Wisconsinites who are struggling pay more. Oh, and he wanted to mention veterans? You absolute terrible excuse of a human being, Eric Hovde. You just proposed at the Rotary meeting this afternoon that you would repeal and defund the PACT Act, which brought expanded health care benefits to tens of thousands of Wisconsin veterans who were exposed to toxic burn pits overseas. What the hell is wrong with you? Oh, wait, I forgot. And Eric Hovde wants to pass a 100 millionaire and billionaire tax cut extension, which is basically him saying, I want to cut my own taxes and all my rich carpetbagger buddy friends like Ron Johnson and the lot. Unbelievable.
I mean, constituent services of myself. I am a constituent, therefore I want lower taxes. The headline from Hope Carnap over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Senate candidate Eric Hovde circulates false Hurricane Helene claims debunked by FEMA. I mean, just add it to the list. And again, with regards to this storm, and folks, you got a feel for folks in Florida. My understanding right now, some of the reporting reported to CNN, 1,300 gas stations have run out of fuel. Mandatory evacuations. And according to Axios, the mayor of Tampa said, if you stay, you're going to die. And this is the environment that Republicans are saying, yes, do not let a disaster go to waste. Let's gin up some lies about our competitors, even though FEMA is debunking it, even though Republicans all across the board of those who are actually having to deal with the circumstances, having to deal with the reality on the ground, they know what's happening, Maggie, and they're satisfied with the action that they're getting from the federal government. But don't tell that to Eric Hovde.
Well, Eric Hovde is a man who lacks both humility and curiosity, the two things that are required for anyone who has an ego big enough to say, I'll be your elected representative. If you don't care to actually educate yourself before you flap your gums, you don't deserve to run for dog catcher, let alone Senate. And I'm a little ticked at the Journal Sentinel. Let me be clear. What false Hurricane Helene claims? How about this headline? Eric Hovde lies about disasters. And like his something along the lines of, it's not just debunked by FEMA, contrary to claims by other Republicans. Right. Point out the Republicans that are saying that those things are lies. Stop talking about FEMA. Yes, they're calling it lies, but it's more important for people to hear that Republican Senator Tom Tillis, Republican Governor Ron DeSantis, the Republican mayors, the Republican county executives, all saying that this is a bunch of lies and that they should stop doing it because it's hurting people in their communities, in their Republican communities. But this is all of a whole, Dom. It's like, oh yeah, let's get rid of rural drop boxes, says Republican sheriff in Dodge County. That hurts Republican voters. Let's debase and lie about FEMA response and hurt Republican voters in those Republican districts in these states that have been hit. Meanwhile, as my guest later this week, Olivia Troy, I'm going to have her on Thursday, I believe, this week, who worked in the Trump White House, has said it was Donald Trump in 2018 that held up emergency disaster funding for California until he was showed that there were counties in California that voted for him. Then he released the
phone. Then he's all fine. Oh, I got people over there. Well, that's totally fine. And how long did he hold up aid for Puerto Rico, right? I mean, a long time.
Yeah, but he threw paper towels down, so that's fine.
It was jump shooting. 855-752-4842. Maggie Dawn from The Maggie Dawn Show. We'll get to the callers shortly. But I want to also throw this one out there. You talk about the headline, Air Cubby Lies. And I think it should just be Air Cubby Lies, ... Because here's the other one that really just got to me. Eric Hovde said trans youth have highest rate of suicide driven by regret. Again, not true.
That's a lie.
Not true. Here was the quote on a conservative radio show from Hovde. The highest rate of suicide in our country is young people who went through a transition. They wake up and realize that this is not the cure for their underlying mental health problems. And now they're even more messed up and they commit suicide at the highest rate of any group in our country. That was the quote. Now, what are the actual facts? Well, according to the Journal Sentinel, contrary to Hovde's claims, people ages 85 and older have the highest rate of suicide, according from data from the U.S. Center for Disease Control. That population accounts for, and I was actually shocked by this, 21% of all confirmed suicides, according to the CDC. So not the trans. Additionally, men over 25, and particularly rural men with quick access to firearms, have the highest growing rate of suicide in Wisconsin, a result of social isolation, financial stress, and job loss, among other factors. In 2021, the most recent year for complete data, nearly 200 rural men in Wisconsin died by suicide, about one in every five. Two-thirds of those men used firearms as their method. A quarter of the state's rural men who died by suicide had military experience. And one other population flagged by the department, girls aged 10 to 19. This is heartbreaking as well. 2021, 1,340 girls in that age group visited emergency departments across Wisconsin for self-harm related injuries with or without suicidal intent. And there's goes on to this. My point being, once again, Eric Hovde is wrong. Once again, they're trying to throw out this trans. Look at the commercials that are running right now. Oh, the trans, everything's trans. They're just so concerned. They're not worried about the truth. They're not worried about reality. They're just trying to gin up the base with whatever lie. It's not even a statistic. They're damn lies or statistics. These are just straight up damn lies.
Well, and the scariest thing is that the hate that is being spewed by the right towards transgendered individuals, you want to talk about causes of suicide? Maybe take a look in the mirror, Mr. Hovde, because what you say is disgusting, revolting, and a bunch of lies and more damn lies.
Lies, lies, damn lies, and Eric Hovde. Maggie Dawn, our favorite here on the Civic Media Network. She's sticking around for one more segment. We'll take to some of your calls as well. 855-752-4842. Apparently, Tammy Baldwin, of course, she's the incumbent senator. She's concerned that maybe this race is a little tighter than it should be. I agree. We'll be right back. The Dom Salvia Show. Phone lines open 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. It is a phone line. It is a text line, and we will get to all of them. We're talking about the hurricane relief efforts going on in Florida. And we played some sound of last night and earlier this morning, and DeSantis had another conference, a press conference this afternoon, talking about what's available, who's doing what, and what's going on in the current circumstances on the ground in Florida. Thanking and talking. Yes, we've spoken to Joe Biden. We have resources from FEMA. The locals, they're doing everything they can. They got lots of cool equipment. Hopefully people, you know, aren't wandering around. Don't go in the water and tread the water, because there could be power lines underneath. There could be alligators, other things of that nature. So be careful. And wait for help to come. Help is on the way, according to Governor Ron DeSantis. And as I think about this, and we talk, you know, where are we at in this country, and the way that the megas talk about all the socialist, Marxist, communist, you know, whatever. I want to talk a little bit about that socialism, because I think, and I'll reference a Daily Coast piece I found. This is going dating back to 2012. I kept this one in my back pocket because it's an evergreen. 75 ways socialism has improved America. Now, it's just a blog piece. You can take it for what you want. But let me dive in a little bit. Then I'm going to get your reaction. Because I believe those megas, they love socialism. They use it every day and may not even know it. It may have even saved your life. I know this is bad, but relax, take a breath. It's going to be okay. We're going to get through this. You see, we're still a capitalist nation. In America, you can still make $1 billion, get a giant tax cut, pay your employees barely enough to survive while you sail on your yacht to escape any guilt that might inconvenience you. Don't freak out just yet. The thing is, socialism is all over America, and people actually like it. Even mm-hmm. you, Mega?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, you, Ron DeSantis. Now, I know, conservative believes in freedom and the Constitution. You hate handouts and believe that in hard work and the individual. You think government should get out of the way and let you live your lives and allow you to prosper on your own. You know that all rich people must work hard and all poor people are lazy. There's no other reason why they could be poor, considering life is completely fair and all people are born into situations and environments that allow them to have all the opportunities and blessings that you had. There is no fathomable way they could have two or three jobs they work very hard at and still not make ends meet. You, megas, you got it all figured out.
Yeah.
But still, even you get your kicks from a little socialism every now and then.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. It's true. Now, don't think of this as an intervention. Think of it as coming out of the closet party. We know you're a closet socialist. That's okay. You're amongst friends. We support you. Besides, we always knew. Socialism is taxpayer funds being used collectively to benefit society as a whole, despite income, contribution, or ability.
Sounds
radical, horrible, right? Crazy. Well, I hate to be the one to tell you, but socialism, which you have been told to fear all your life, is responsible for all of this. And now we have a list. And I love a list. And I'm not going to go
delightful
through all 75, but there are some that I think are fairly relevant.
Give us the highlights. Yeah. Give us the highlights.
Now, number one, military defense. I mean, that's a no-brainer, right? But that is the largest and most funded socialist program in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Here's one. Number two, highways and roads.
Yeah.
The highways and roads in Florida are all flooded. Some are going to have to get redone. What else could possibly be out there? Oh, the police and the fire department.
Indeed.
Again, paid for by taxpayer dollars. They're putting their lives on the line, you know, trying to help that guy who hopefully made it through when he stayed on his sailboat and tried to ride out the storm. But some folks, maybe they couldn't get out. Well, the fire, the police, the EMTs, all those folks, they're paid for with public tax dollars. Of course, the Postal Service, another one. Here's one. Bridges. Along with our highways, our government used your taxpayer dollars to build bridges. This allows you to travel across rivers without having to sail or swim. Most
thank
people
goodness.
Like, and if you are familiar with Florida, familiar with Siesta Key and Longboat Key and all the different keys down there, there's lots and lots of bridges. Apparently, a lot of effort. Hundreds of bridge inspectors, my understanding, out there on the job right now.
Yeah, you build an estate in the swamp, you're going to need a lot of bridges.
You're
going
to need them. You're going to need them. And oh, yeah, how are those folks getting paid? Well, if they're doing work for the government, well, they're probably getting paid by the government, even if they're employed by a private sector firm. Oh, we got the CIA, the FBI. Those don't really apply. Let's see. What else could possibly... Well, museums. There's lots of museums. Now, some are private, some are public. The VA, you know, that's another one. Very important. Public parks. Florida's beautiful. They got lots of parks down there. Again, paid for by the public dollars. Paid for by socialism. The sewer system. One of the problems, perhaps, all that water coming in. What happened? All that sewage. Well, you could have some damage to the sewer system. You like having that? You want to prevent pollution and disease from seeping into our environment? Thank you, taxpayers of America. You know, in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, it was the sewer socialists back in the day. They wanted to. And who has the money to put an entire sewer system in?
Right. Who wants to be in charge of managing all of their own waste?
Nobody could pay for it. That's why it's socialism. So as we continue, town and state-run beaches. You like going to the beach? You like it when the beach is safe and clean, like lifeguards and keeping the glass off, the partiers out?
Yeah.
Well, that presumably a lot of that, that's going to be paid for by your tax dollars. State construction, unemployment insurance. Well, some folks are going to be unemployed through this, or at least temporarily, depends on what kind of businesses were shuttered or what kind of damage there is. Unemployment insurance, state construction. Of course, there's going to be a lot of construction after two hurricanes rolling through Florida. Welfare, public street lighting. I saw some of those street lamps in Florida.
Oh, yeah.
Waving around. It was crazy that they're even still on. Oh, and here's the one, number 53, FEMA. If disaster strikes, FEMA is there to help pick up the pieces. As a part of Homeland Security and an agency of the federal government, they use taxpayer dollars to help cities, states, and towns recover and rebuild. I don't know many private companies that could assist in disaster relief and ask for nothing in return. Thank God for socialism. Now, there's more, but I think you kind of get the hint. So when you hear people like DeSantis and these EMTs, just remember, they're espousing socialism. 855-75-CIVIC.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
To the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. I want to thank Dr. Harvey J. K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Always love it when Harvey comes around. Now, super jazzed to introduce to you John Nichols from The Nation magazine, from the Cap Times. You see him perhaps on the cable TVs occasionally, and always love it when he comes around the show. Thank you, John. Welcome back.
Dom, it's great to be with you. I was literally on the phone with Harvey earlier this afternoon.
No, man.
I don't want to use the word that describes it, but it's a little internecine.
It is, man, but I love it. And Harvey had mentioned that when we were wrapping up our conversation. So perhaps that's a great place to start. He mentioned the tweet that you put out there, John. Shouldn't the fact that a major presidential party candidate who is running in the 21st century maintains a, quote, long-held fascination, unquote, with eugenics be much bigger news? I believe this is referencing a New York Times article, The Murder Gene, Eugenics. John, I can't believe we're hearing this in this day and age, and I certainly can't believe we're hearing it from Donald Trump, although I should expect it.
Well, I think the only thing that's inaccurate in your statement is that you can't believe you're hearing it from Donald Trump. otherwise, yes, you're exactly right that this is a little weird. And, you know, I thought we kind of dealt with a lot of this a century ago. You know, when we had, you know, like trials in Tennessee and things like that, that seemed to wrestle with these issues. But there is no question, as the Times article actually quite accurately describes, Donald Trump has had a very long fascination with race and genes, you know, some sort of theory that people are different intellectually and morally. This goes back, you know, as the Times article details for quite a while. What's weird to me is that the Times would treat it so casually, right?
Yeah.
Or that many media outlets would treat it so casually. They'd say, well, yeah, you know, isn't it? Here's a notable thing. Here's something you may not have thought about today.
Right.
You got a candidate for president who kind of has some pretty unsettling ideas, which I think, you know, in any election in the modern age would have been, and I'm saying last century, basically, would have been disqualifying. And, you know, certainly as a national candidate, maybe there would have been a couple states where you could have pulled it off. But nationally, it would be disqualifying. And the fact that it isn't, first off, that's unsettling as regards our politics.
Yeah, right.
But the also, again, I get to the core thing I was saying there, and that's the fact that our media doesn't pause at moments like this and say, as Tim Walz has, this is weird.
Yeah.
And not good weird. This is troubling.
Is it, John? Perhaps it's just the fire hose of constant lies and racism and bigotry and anti-Semitism. It just is constant. I mean, if it was reported on as constant as it is in those stark terms, it seems like perhaps the legacy major news medias would just be repeating themselves over and over and over again. And who wants to read the same article?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. This is sort of the challenge, right?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of theories about this. There's writers and scholars, including scholars of fascism and scholars of authoritarianism and all sorts of other isms that we are a little bit ill at ease with, I hope, who will say that this is what happens, that you know, people are so overwhelmed by all of the racism, all of the anti-Semitism, all of the extreme views, to such an extent that it becomes normalized. Now, it doesn't become normalized for you or me, or frankly, for most of our listeners, you know, the people that are with us right now listening in, but it does for some portion of society. And that's something that we ought to do exactly what we're doing right now. And that is pause and talk about what's going on, you know, what this reality, and recognize that it's important. It's important not to be overwhelmed by it, but to actually talk about it and to pay attention to that and ask ourselves the fundamental question, is this what we want in our politics or in our governance? I say no. You know, if somebody says yes, well, we could have a debate.
John, do you think perhaps some of the megas aren't digesting it in these terms? Oh, yeah, the murder gene, you know, yeah, it makes sense to me. That's all the further it gets in their minds. Like, don't you have to have a sense of history and knowledge about this particular topic to be, you know, somewhat bothered by it?
Well, but that's why media exists, right? I mean, media it's referred to sometimes as the first draft of history. But in reality, media at its best is where we connect history with the present, right? Mm-hmm. We look at precedents, we look at things that have happened in the past. We say, hey, you ought to be alert to this. You ought to be aware. This doesn't end well when we start to go down this avenue. Yeah. That's what we do with media all the time, by the way. What do you think weather is about? Right? Right. When you know, if they're telling you, yeah, there's a big storm coming, here's some evidence of what these storms have been like in the past, you might want to clear out of here, right?
No, we're going to write it out, John. It's not going to be as bad. They don't know what they're talking about. You know, there's always going to be
those folks. Yeah, I'm going to put an extra rope. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Folks are listening.
You understand what I'm saying here.
I do. John Nichols from the Cap Times, from the Nation. Well, I do appreciate your writing, John. And one of the reasons I reached out to you initially was the piece you put in the Cap Times that Harris has a lot in common with Lincoln Republicans. And one of the quotes from your article, what struck me, and you said the first Republicans were true radicals. People who sought to upend the politics of the country at a time when existing parties were capitulating to the demands of Southern enslavers and their political pawns. I haven't put it in those terms, but yeah, I think you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
How is Harris more like have more in common with the Lincoln Republicans than perhaps the MAGAs might think?
Well, let's be clear. She's more conservative than the initial Republicans. I mean, she's not as radical as they were. On a host of issues, but she's a lot closer to him on a lot of the basic issues. And that's, you know, it isn't just the core issues that we think about in the pre-Civil War era, because, of course, we think about the debate over the spread of slavery and the fact that the Republican Party had to be founded because the existing parties, the Whigs and the Democrats, refused to address the issue, right? They refused to take the necessary actions to end the spread of slavery and ultimately to overturn it, to get rid of it. And so as a result, there was a need for a new party. But that wasn't the only reason there was a need for a new party. The Republicans who gathered up in Ripon wanted to be welcoming to immigrants. They thought immigrants and newcomers were good. In fact, many of the first Republicans were German-speaking immigrants who had come after the German 1848 revolution. And so immigrants were a really huge part of the formation of the Republican Party. In fact, in Wisconsin, the Republican Party in its initial campaigns often campaigned in English and in German, multilingual campaigning, wow, because there were so many immigrants. They also believed in land reform. They thought that too few wealthy people controlled too much property. And so as a result, they wanted to, you know, redistribute some of the land, especially to poorer folks. So there was a little bit of economic redistribution there. And then the other thing was, and this is nascent, but Lincoln was very big on this. They believed in unions. They really liked unions. And, you know, this notion of people banding together to make sure that in a rapidly industrializing economy, that they'd get a fair shake.
Right.
And so what do you get when you get a political party that wants to address issues of racial unfairness and inequity and you know, terrible treatment of people, that wants to be respectful of immigrants, that wants to redistribute at least some of the wealth, and that really likes unions?
Sounds like a Democratic Party to me, John.
No, brother, that's the Republican.
Well, that me, it used to be the Republican. Right.
Yeah, not right. The current ones, man.
Folks, yeah.
And that's why I say that Harris is a little bit more like them. Not as radical as they were, but you know, in the ballpark.
And it's amazing you say that, not as radical as they were, because certainly for the time, they were absolutely radical. And that is a great point, John. Appreciate you making that and writing this article. John Nichols from the Cap Times and The Nation. But also, John, you're a busy guy. The other piece that you put out at The Nation, which caught my eye, this one from yesterday, Donald Trump running scared. He relished the limelight in 2016 and 2020, but now refusing to debate and ducking interviews. And oh yeah, talking about eugenics, but we already covered that. John, why do you think Trump is running scared right now?
Well, yeah, there's a lot of explanations for this. And I'll tell you some of the things that people are saying, and then I'll tell you what I think. There are some folks who are saying, look, he's just a lot older, right?
Yeah.
You know, when he started campaigning and making noises about running for president, he was in his mid-60s. He's now closing in on 80. And that he may just be less energetic or more cautious, whatever. Some people think that. Other people will make arguments that he's in so much trouble, right? That he, you know, 91 indictments, 34 convictions, you know, all sorts of things that just are uncomfortable.
It's weighing on him, perhaps.
Right? Yeah, well, you know, like I said, it can really fill up an interview space. But I actually think it's something different altogether. I think he was very comfortable going into a campaign against Joe Biden, who's roughly the same age as him, who I think it's fair to say has been slowing down. And, you know, while I think Biden continues to be a very effective president, as a candidate, he wasn't doing so well.
Yeah.
And I think Trump thought that was great, right? That was going to be a great situation. Now, suddenly, he is facing a young, much younger, dynamic former prosecutor. And so he wades into the debate confidently with her, and she shreds him, right?
Yeah.
I mean, she totally.
Well, he won't admit that, but yes, I concur.
Of course. So now he's like, oh, I'm not going to do any more debates. You know, okay, so debates are off. That's a big change, by the way, because October, one of the things that defined the month of October historically in our presidential campaigns is debates, the second and the third debate between the candidates. In this case, it would be a fourth because of the Biden one. But yeah, debates are a big part of it. And he's canceled that out. The other thing that defines it is some very high-profile interviews, like the 60 Minutes interview. They've been doing that for 50 years, right? In the fall, as you got the candidates defined, each candidate participates in what is considered to be, you know, a real interview, a tough one.
Yeah.
Not one with your friendly folks, you know, but one where, you know, you're going to chase some questions that you don't like. And Harris, you know, you agree with her answers, disagree with them, like them, dislike them. But she sat down for the whole thing, right? She did the whole interview, and it was a tough interview. There's no question. And then she, you know, did an event with him and, you know, continued to talk. And then Wall sat down, and he took some tough questions, right? There's no question of that. But Trump and Vance didn't show.
right? And so what you're getting in is a situation where they're warping the fall schedule because they don't want to show up for the things that candidates traditionally do, debates, high-profile interviews, things of that nature. And you ask yourself, well, what is Trump doing with his time, right? Yeah. Well, he had some town hall meeting with Bobby Kennedy Jr. and Tulsi Gabbard on making America healthy, right? And, you know, my recommendation, perhaps a little bit healthier diet, Mr. Trump.
I mean.
But be that as it may, you know, it's fine to do that. Everybody does town halls. The Republicans do town halls. The Democrats do blah, blah, blah. But that's kind of like with his primo thing of the week. And then you end up with, you know, he's having rallies. There's no doubt of that. And he gets people at his rallies. Don't, you know, some people say, oh, everybody's walking out of his rallies. He still draws a crowd.
Sure.
But it is true that after a couple hours, people start to walk out. You know, he was up in Juneau. Can you imagine in Juneau, Wisconsin on a Sunday night? You're like, oh, let's go see Trump. And then, you know, you go there, you wait in line for like 5 hours. I mean, and then you got to listen to, like, I don't know, Scott Walker or Brian Steele or Sile or somebody like that. And then Trump comes on and gives you like 2 hours.
Two more hours, man.
That's a lot of rallies.
John, I don't think I could listen to my show for more than 2 hours. That's why this show's only 2 hours. John Nichols from The Nation magazine, from The Cap Times. You see him on the cable news sometimes. John, thank you for what you do, man. Appreciate you making yourself available.
It's a total honor to be with you, brother. Take care.
Thank you, John. Folks, 855-752-4842. Coming back, one last segment. Rubber band, man, get down. Oh, get down, brother. Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Matt Rothschild in studio. Jess is on the board doing the hard work, digging up the clips from yesterday that we didn't get to. I mean,
was that yesterday?
It seems so long ago. And sorry we didn't get to. We have so much stuff we leave on the floor in this fine show because there's so much going on. But we talked about Jesse Waters. Play the clip, and we'll talk about it when we're done.
Sure.
Now, I don't see why any man would vote Democrat. It's not the party of virtue, security. It's not the party of strength. It's definitely not the party of family. And
what?
To be a man and then vote for a woman just because she's a woman is either childish, that person has mommy issues, or they're just trying to be accepted by other women. And I heard the scientists say the other day that when a man votes for a woman, he actually transitions into a woman.
Which scientists are those? Are they getting Nobel Prizes this week?
The best scientists. We have the best scientists.
God, the scientists.
Wow. Virtue, security, strength, or family. Those are owned by the Republicans, according to Jesse Waters. And don't you dare vote for a woman. I mean, if you're worried about transitioning into a woman, you better vote for a man, Matt.
Yeah, and Jesse Waters owns the definition of masculinity. Yeah. And
so what
Jesse
happens
Waters
when a woman votes for a man?
Turns into a man.
So,
I mean, but that's okay, though.
That's fine.
Yeah, because then she gets control of her body.
Oh.
I see what I did there?
Yeah.
Oh, it's terrible. 855-752-4842. And this is like the leading guy in Fox News. Like he came after Bill O'Reilly, man. I remember him on Bill O'Reilly. He'd be the guy the man on the street stuff. And now Jesse Waters, he took over the chair once Papa Bill got kicked out for all the sexual whatever's and $20 million and whatever's. But, you know, you can Google that. But yeah, this is a star, let's call it, on Fox, don't call it news.
Yeah, and he wants us to believe that he is the epitome of what a man is.
Oh, isn't he? No, man. If he is a man, I don't want to be one. I would gladly be a woman if he's a man. 855-752-4842. Actually, being a woman's really hard. I'd rather be a man. Joe from Joe from Madison. You know what I'm talking about. Welcome, Joe. What do you got for us?
Pat, I'm going to rethink all my choices in the past about who I voted for. My gender is in complete turmoil.
I didn't even know that was a thing, Joe. We got to be careful now.
Oh, God. Yeah. I voted for men. Now what am I? I don't know.
I don't know.
I wanted to return to Mr. Hovde talking about complete cesspool. And Matt, I'd be really interested in your take on all this, because I want to return to that whole issue of him flying in by four separate plane loads in December, this $26 million that came from this Banco Azteca out of Mexico to the SunWest Bank that Hovde is CEO of and owner of. This bank, Banco Azteca, had been cited by the Journal of International Affairs as one of four banks that the Mexican cartel was using to process extortion payments. And a decade ago, the U.S. Comptroller of Currency investigated the bank's ties with another U.S. bank called the Lone Star National Bank of FAR and turned up money laundering concerns. So they were cited. They were fined. Lone Star ended the relationship with Banco Azteca. And then two other banks, Fifth Third Cincinnati and CBW Bank, also followed. And then a story in the Wall Street Journal, you know, that bastion of liberalism, said that Banco Azteca has struggled doing business with U.S. banks since regulators began enforcing rules cracking down on money laundering from drug trafficking, kidnapping, or extortion. So most banks have cut their ties with them. So they were left with these huge sums of U.S. currency with no place to offload it. Till Mr. Hovde comes around and says, sure, fly it up in four separate plane loads, $26 million. This was done in December of 2023. In February of 2024, Mr. Hovde says, I'm going to run for Senate. And here we have him. And he said, Matt, that he's not going to divest his ties with his bank. Doesn't it sort of open up the fact that this may be a really nice little funnel for nasty deals of foreign banks? Just funnel it into SunWest, and here you go. Mr. Hovde will take care of it. To me, it seems stinky as all get out. Could you offer some thoughts on this?
Well, thanks, Joe. Thanks for the call. Always nice to hear from you. Yeah, I do think this requires more investigation by journalists looking at it, and it's a consequence of Citizens United. You know, this is a consequence of the 2010 decision by the U.S. Supreme Court that said, you know, outside groups can spend any amount of money. And then who's he getting, you know, how's he getting all this money from this shady bank in Mexico? What's that all about? Certainly has raised my eyebrows.
When the bank receiving the money tells people, don't worry about it, we followed all the applicable laws, we dotted all the I's, crossed all the T's, totally fine, totally legal. And this is a guy, and he's running for Senate right now. You know, and I think, yeah, I don't necessarily take something like that at face value. I think there should be some further discussion about it, at least.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you know the source of the money? How did you determine that, Mr. Hovde? I mean, there's not all sorts of questions, Sun Bank, whatever your bank is, on the circumstances and the how this deal came to be done.
Yeah, the shady bank sends $26 million to Hovde's California bank. I mean, come on.
I mean, but no big deal, right? No
big deal. Happens all the time.
I mean, it's just the man doing a business. I'm a small business owner just like you. Yeah, Eric Hovde for the people.
Nothing to see here.
Folks, this is the Dom Salvia Show. We are going to start talking about the Woodward book. We briefly touched on that yesterday. There are some articles on that, some topics on that. Callers, I know you want to talk about that as well. Stick around on the other side.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.